God bless you.
Well, I drew the short straw, so I get to go first. My name is Sarah McDonald. I grew up in DeSoto, Texas, just South Dallas. And I grew up in a very loving and godly home. I am the oldest of seven kids, and my parents instilled the gospel in us, and they did the best they could to live out that gospel to us. Test, test. Is that better? Hold it closer. Okay. Let me start over. Okay. And my parents are here today, Ian and Terry McDonald, and they have been nothing but supportive, as has my whole family been through this whole journey. I became a Christian at 8 years old at an altar call at Hampton Road Baptist Church, and shortly after that I was baptized, and we went, you know, Sunday school, church, in high school, missions trips. Is that better? Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. I put a lot of what I did in my life in the value of who I was. So being involved in church, having Christian friends, I volunteered with underprivileged children, mentoring and stuff like that. I went to Texas A&M and graduated from there. I don't know if we have any Aggies in the house. And the same thing in college. Like, I was just trying to find my value. And I, Christian sorority, church, young life, all that kind of stuff. But I was doing it with the wrong heart. I was doing it to fill a void instead of letting Christ fill that void in me. After college, when I started working, I started working as an event planner and a fundraiser, and I transferred my value into my work. And so when my work was no longer fulfilling, I would switch jobs. So I kind of job hopped about every 2 to 3 years. We had a family tragedy happen in January of 2009, and that was not the springboard, but it was a catalyst in my downward spiral. I also had gastric bypass surgery that same year because I had used food up until this point to comfort me and to make me feel good. And, you know, unfortunately, I had the physical repercussions of that and was very obese. So after I had the gastric bypass surgery and my body changed and I still found that I was not fulfilled, I had what they call a transference of addiction from food to alcohol. And this span lasted for about 5 years. And a really good friend of mine helped me find Fort Worth Teen Challenge. And we were both like, a year and a half? That's really, really long. But it was free. So that was about what I could afford, was free. So with the support of my family and friends, I went into Teen Challenge of August 2013. While being in the program, he started to peel away what I placed value in. And I realized that I didn't know who I was, and I didn't know what I was. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And slowly, the staff started pouring into me. Well, they started pouring into me immediately. Slowly, I started listening. And they were just saying, your value is in Christ. Your value is in Christ. It's not what you do. It's who you are in Christ. And for whatever reason, I'm a slow learner because it took quite a while for it to start grabbing on. So through this process, I had great counseling. And then when I came to the reentry portion, which is where you work inside or outside the home, I started working in the office. And I fought that for a few years. I was like, Lord, surely this is not what you have for me. I had all these big, grandiose ideas of what career I should have. And another thing that really drove me was my comparison to my friends and the careers they had, the houses they had, the lifestyles that they had that I never could seem to quite attain. and there was a purpose for that. So I've been working at Teen Challenge now for about 7, 8 years, and I am the community relations, and so now I get to pour into the ladies just like the staff poured into me when I was in the program. And what the Lord has done in my life is molded me and shaped me through many different avenues, friendships that didn't start out as friendships at all. And I get to work and do what the Lord has called me to do. And all the career decisions I made before, I look back and each one of those positions prepared me for this position that I'm in now. Everything I did, from event planning to fundraising to property management, all of that, it didn't even matter, because when I started working there, the Lord showed me my value. So I'm still on a journey with the Lord, as we all are, and I'm just blessed to be able to stand in front of you guys today and say that Jesus changed me. He changed me radically. My sister even told me one time, Jesus has done more with you than I ever dreamed or prayed he could do. And that is not by my doing at all. It's all by Christ and his promise in the Bible and what he says, who we are and what we're called to do. I'd like to introduce Nicole Harrison. She is one of our teachers in the classroom, and she is going to share a little bit of her story.
Well, my name's Nicole Harrison. Lord, I just ask that the words from my mouth be pleasing to you, Lord. Just be with me, in Jesus' name, amen. I guess I'll start from the beginning. Very early on, my parents divorced when I was one, so I don't remember, you know, living with my mom and my dad. About the age of 2, 2 and a half, my mom met my stepfather, and they got married. But about the age of 3 or 4, one of my stepfather's friends took advantage of me. And that twisted everything. It twisted everything for the rest of my life. I had a lot of difficulties growing up. My mom and my stepdad had 2 other children. So I kind of felt like I was the oddball. You know, I was different from everybody else. That's what the enemy wants us to think, that we are different. Growing up in my teenage years, I think I have been through counseling. I started counseling probably about the age of 12, going on into my 20s. They all said, you know, somewhere along the line, something has happened to this girl, because all of my actions and behaviors and decisions reflected that. That incident when I was 3 or 4 did not surface for me until I was in Teen Challenge and in counseling there. I guess I had blocked it out, you know. I was raped a couple of times in high school. And then at the end of high school, you know, I discovered crack cocaine. And that was my first thing that I started. My senior year, about 6 weeks before graduation, I dipped out for 2 weeks, but I was able to come back and still graduate with honors in my high school. But I got married. My addiction took over. I started doing cocaine in college. I went to medical assisting school, so that's when I started doing cocaine. it broke up my marriage. You know, I have a son. He is now 27 years old, married to a wonderful woman, and they live out in Las Vegas. She's in the Air Force, and I just had my first grandchild. So, my life was very dark. You know, there have been so many hiccups along the way. I've been with abusive people. I have tolerated emotional abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, a lot of that. About 5 years before I found Teen Challenge, those were the darkest years of my life. I got with an individual that was a drug dealer, and that's when I started doing methamphetamine. That is the worst thing. It will destroy your life. It will destroy your relationships. It will destroy your family. He was awful to me. I don't know how many times he beat me up, but I know that there was a point where I was inside my trailer and he shot the window out, and that was less than maybe 3 or 4 feet away. And, you know, the glass shattered on me. He had no idea where I was at inside that trailer. And that was the moment I dropped to my knees. And I just asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want to live like this anymore. I need you to help me. My son needs his mother. You know, I don't want to die. And through a series of events, I landed at Teen Challenge. I walked through the doors there with nothing but the clothes on my back. I had just got out of jail. I think I'd been there for 3 or 4 months over a fight and got charges. And the Lord dropped a couple of those charges for me when I was there. So I was able to get out pretty quick and found Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge is the best thing that ever has happened to me in my life. I grew up in the church. You know, I was also baptized when I was 6 or 7. I grew up in a Methodist church. So, you know, I had all of that experience, but I had no relationship, no real relationship with the Lord. You know, I thought he was this big man in the sky, and I was so imperfect. I mean, there wasn't anything I could do. I didn't feel worthy enough to come to the Lord. And when I found Teen Challenge, you know, that's just the kind of people he wants. He wants those that want to give everything to him. There is a crushing process that goes on in Teen Challenge. I had to face myself. The Lord showed me the truth about myself. Today, I can say I'm sorry. Today, I can say I'm responsible for that. Today, I can ask, please forgive me. Today, I can say I love you, and I really mean that I love you. You know, the Lord has changed my life dramatically. He has absolutely gone above and beyond restoration with my family. I hadn't been home for Christmas in 6 or 7 years, I think, when I came to Teen Challenge. That was my first Christmas home. You know, it took a long time to earn the trust of my family. 5 years later, I go to their houses when they're not home, and my dad, and I go clean his house. I mean, that never happened before. You know, I mentioned my son and my daughter-in-law. This is what God does. My daughter-in-law reached out to me 3 years ago, and she said, my little brother needs some help. And how long has it been? 9 months? Enrique, would you stand up? This is my daughter-in-law's little brother, Enrique. He is now in the Men's Teen Challenge. Because of what the Lord has done for me in my life, my family now comes to me, and I was able to pass on the Lord to him. you know, that's what we are called to do. We are called to go out into the world and make disciples, you know. I want to share what I have inside. You know, being in the classroom, I get a lot of one-on-one interaction with the ladies. And, you know, it's awesome when I get revelation from the Lord. You know, I hear him and he speaks to me. But it's even more incredible to watch the ladies get revelation from the Lord and listen to what they have to say, what the Lord has said to them. That's the biggest blessing in my life, is just to share. I want people to have what I have found. I have peace. I have stability. I am responsible. I can love, and I can love and not even expect it back. That's a big deal, you know? So I am very blessed. I am very, very blessed. Yes. Well, thank you. I want to pass on the mic to Amy Fickett. She is our operations manager.
Good morning. I felt at home the minute I walked in. I grew up in a church that was similar to this. I really wish there was a church like this. My mom would have had me drive from Fort Worth to McKinney every Sunday. And she probably would have made me come other days too, because she loved to fellowship and she loved to be with people. So the story that I will tell is, that's not me anymore. Thank God. Thank God he rescued me from that. But by the time I was 3 years old, I probably had three labels: spirited, rebel, and a wild child. And I lived up to all those names, and I wore them like a badge of honor. During my life, I experienced trauma almost immediately. My mother and father gave me up for adoption when I was born. So I believe I was probably carried in an unwanted pregnancy. So that rejection and abandonment kind of is the story of my life. My parents divorced when I was 5 years old. My mother remarried to a man that really didn't want a daughter. So that relationship was quite tumultuous. I dealt with sexual abuse. By the time I was 9 years old, due to being the rebel, I ended up in an adolescent care unit for 90 days, and I learned all the new tricks from all the new kids. I learned about how to be more rebellious and the things that I could do. So in the ninth grade, I found out I was pregnant with a little boy, and my parents pretty much asked me to leave their home. They did give me another alternative. They put me into Catholic Charities, which was going to connect me with an adoption agency, which I was an adopted child who knew nothing about the people that gave me away. So that wasn't an option for me. And I decided that I would move forward in life. So I decided to carry this little boy through the journey of being rebellious, disobedient, and trying to do it my way. And my way usually didn't get me glorified. It was something that I didn't see that attention as negative. It was just how people responded to me. I mean, at 4 years old, you know, I was the redheaded little freckled kid. You know, I wasn't blonde hair or blue-eyed, or I didn't fit in with the groups of people. Although I crossed those lines in a lot of ways and had multiple friends, I just never felt worthy. There was always a hole inside of me that the world just couldn't fill. So I grew up in a family, my father was military and status was huge. And I was told, and I just was ministered to through their actions, that life was about achieving a family, a husband, a good home, a good job, what the world's standards are to having fulfillment here. And so as that transpired, I ended up becoming addicted to prescription drugs when I was 19 years old through dental work. And back then, in the 80s, dentists didn't get it. You know, when you prescribe somebody 200 Oxycontins in a month, that next month they might need those again. And this went on. This was kind of a cycle in my life. I got addicted. I'd go to a secular program. I'd come out. I'd stay clean about 3 days, and I'd go back into that cycle. So throughout one of my stays in treatment, I went to a recovery center in Dallas that was a year long. So really, abstinence for a drug addict is the best thing that they could have. They need that freedom and to be separated from their drug. And so during my stay there, they helped me accomplish and get a career. So I went into the children's hairstyling is what I did. And I ended up being a very successful person in that industry. I got the nice hair salon on Lover's Lane in Highland Park, and I lived in North Dallas. And I had everything except a husband. I had these two little boys at that time now that I was dragging along. And I had everything the world said I needed to be happy. But I wasn't happy. I was very broken on the inside. This went on for many years, and one more child entered the scene. I had a little girl in 97. And through that spiraling effect, I couldn't maintain the salon. I couldn't maintain the home life. It was just a cycle, this vicious cycle, get up, fall down, over and over again. And I had been raised in the church. I had been brought to church every Sunday and every Wednesday, and I met the Lord in church camp, and I could sing the songs, and I thanked him for the front row of the parking spot that I got at Walmart, but I didn't understand giving God every part of me, just surrendering my life to him. So in 2009, my middle child committed suicide. And when that happened, there isn't a drug or any amount of alcohol that can take you out of that pain. And so I dug deeper into my addiction at that time. And my parents, Lord bless them today, they did everything imaginable that a parent can do. They were there. My mother is the reason I'm standing here today, because she never gave up on me. She never did. She stayed on bended knee, and she kept me alive out there. And, you know, through life, I was one of those that always challenged God, you know. Well, I need my rent paid. My mom told me to pray. I prayed. Where's my rent? He didn't show up. See, God loved you, but he didn't love me. He wanted to take care of you, but he didn't take care of me. And that's the way I treated him. I wanted to give him glory and honor because that's the way I felt. Like, this is great. I want to give you, God, everything, but not that, not this over here, but just bless me, and then I'll do all these other things, and it'll be great. And so I ended up getting on multiple other medications when I was mourning the loss of my son, and through that, I got addicted to Suboxone, which is the government's drugs. They sell that any, you know, where in any city you can go there, and they'll give you this medication that will help you not go in the streets and buy it, but you can buy it from them, and they'll let you stay that way. And my dad told me in 2013 he had been paying for this medication because they never left. They whatever they could do to help me, they would, and we call that enabling. But my mother and father called it love, and I'll never fault them for that. So when I got onto the Suboxone, my dad just was like, well, you're just as crazy as a June bug on or off. Like, this isn't really solving anything, and so you need to go down to that clinic, and you need to tell them you need to get off that medication. And so I went in, and I went into the counselor's office, and I told him. And this man sat across from me, and he told me, Amy, you don't need medication. You need Jesus. That's the answer. So he had been to a teen challenge. Now, I've lived in the Metroplex my entire life. I've never heard of teen challenge. I didn't grow up in the AG churches. So it was just a stone's throw away from me. And so I said, okay, I'll try it. Because I'm good at going to recovery. I can go to recovery and do that. That's not a problem. It's actually kind of a break. So I'll do that. So I go in, get into Teen Challenge, and they want me to wash the dishes and get up at 7 o'clock, and they don't let me have cigarettes, and they don't give me any medication. Well, this was a little bit more work than I signed up for. I don't know about this Teen Challenge. And so we keep you from, we keep them from using the phone for the first couple of weeks, let them settle down. So the 2 weeks came and my phone call came, and I'm calling my mama to come get me. I'm ready to go. I don't think this is for me. And so my mom and dad said, you do not have a home to come back to. You better stay where you're at. And they had never told me that. But my mom knew where I was. She knew I was in God's vineyards. She knew she could trust the Lord with me today, and she could say no and risk what would happen. So I called another friend, and she said, yeah, I'll come get you. And I'm like, she don't have the money my parents have. I don't think she can afford me. So that's not an option. So I guess I'm just going to have to try this. So I got myself together after the director told me they'd take me to the homeless shelter if I needed to go somewhere. And that was a place I'd never been and didn't want to go. So as the days went on, and I started to just talk to the Lord about where I'd been in life and where had he been. Well, where had he been? Why did I go through molestation? Why did I go through drug addiction? Why did I lose my son? Why, Lord, why? And so as time progressed at the center, they needed a driver. Everybody that is at Teen Challenge, eventually, if God's called them there, they'll work there. They'll stay for a little bit. And the Lord will minister to them. So through that, the Lord knew I had been down this road many times, and I needed a different avenue. I needed him to find me in a different place. So I began to drive, and when you drive, you go out and you get the groceries, and you take the girls to the medical appointments, and you get their prescriptions. And I'm thinking, these people trust me with their car? Oh, my God. And they gave me a phone? Wow. Wow, Lord. They don't see me like I see me. They don't see me broken and lost. But you do, and you knew what I needed. And so I'm driving down the street one day, and the Lord says to me, you remember sitting in your apartment when you needed that rent? Did your rent get paid? It did. I was there with you. I was there then. And as I'm driving another day, you know, because I was like Moses, show me the burning bush. I need a bush. And things are just coming together in my life. And it's not about what is outside of me. It's the peace and the settledness inside of me that was something I had never experienced. See, I believe we're all born with a place that God can only fill. And when we don't know that and we don't seek that, we're on empty. And no matter what you reach outside of yourself to fill that, it's impossible. It's a place that only God can fill. It's a place that's who you want to fill it, because it's real. It's tangible. It's inevitable in my life, in Nicole's life, and Sarah, in your life. I see it out here. I see God's people here. So through Teen Challenge, the stability of what we do, the pastor kind of gave you a synopsis of how we run our program. But things happen we take it to the bare minimum. Just get up and brush your teeth. Wash your face. Make your bed. Come to breakfast. Now let's clean up after breakfast, but let's go to praise and worship. And then let's go to the classroom and let's learn about what is it? How is it to be a Christian? What is God asking from you? Obedience, number one. Obedience. He has given us the book of life. We just have to seek and find that. It implements everything in there we can put into 2021. Look at where we're at in the world. It's evident. But God has a plan, and he has an action plan. We just have to go and seek it. So our ladies come in, and we just kind of give them the basics. And then we let the Lord do the rest. A lot of what our director said one time, you know, Teen Challenge is like a cast. You have a broken bone inside the cast. The cast just holds the arm or the broken bone so that it can heal. And that's really kind of what TC is. We don't ask the ladies to pay to come there. We don't ask them to go out and work. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But for our ladies, this is what our director has been called to do. And so I know I'm kind of jumping around here, but the Lord started to minister to me throughout my driving that he had planted me in his vineyard. He had planted me to let my roots grow deep there. And so I can say that I have been following the Lord with everything in my might since 2013. And I give him all the glory for who I am today. I have been restored with my children. They can be wayward at times like I was, but I know the Lord told me he has a plan and a purpose, and he'll bring them out of those places too. But really, all we can do is say, one, thank you. Thank you for giving. Thank you, because we wouldn't be open today if the hearts of God's people don't keep our doors open. It is because you reach into your pocket and you give to a ministry that is touching. It's not a necessarily a teen, because we're all grown adults over there. And most of us are over 30 and plus. So, but we love God's people. We love that we can share our testimony. I will tell you that everything I went through, all the research I did, how to do it my way, the Lord has turned that for good. He's allowed my tragedies to be a triumph for me to be able to reach back to somebody that's experienced the same things that I have and pull them where I'm at today or help to lead them in that way. So thank you guys. Thank you for having us out. We greatly appreciate it. And we just love the Lord. Yes.
Stay right here. Didn't that just thrill your heart to hear the power, the life-changing power of Christ, healing and redeeming and restoring. Spectacular, isn't it? And we're not surprised. We're thankful. We know God can do anything. So we are so thankful for your ministry and for what you're doing and for all the lives that have been touched and will be touched and will continue to be touched. We're thankful that in a small way we get to be a part of that. We send each month funds to this ministry, $250 each month. Back earlier this year, they kind of were in a crunch financially, and because we had resources, we could send an extra $4,000 or $5,000 as they needed at that particular time to help them out. That happens in ministry. They go through phases. There's months where you can't make budget, you can't make payroll. It's just part of it. And they're relying on us, churches and individuals. And one big fundraiser they've got coming up, a golf tournament, in just a couple weeks. But they're relying ultimately on the week-to-week support. That's why it's so important that we all do our part. So on behalf of our church today, is an expression of our love and appreciation, we give you this check for $6,000.
Wow, thank you. Thank you so much.
Bless you.